greetings to Power Hour Nation. This is Jim Fetzer sitting in for Daniel. I'm just delighted to be back once again. I have two investigative journalists as my guests today. Stephanie Sledge, with whom we opened the show discussing face masking, coronavirus, how a lot of states are breaking out. We have 17 who are getting their state's best to work, some of which never actually folded in the face of all of these efforts by the government to destroy America. And mark my words, that's what's going on. And then in the second part, we had Tom Lipscomb, who's a longstanding investigative journalist, who is a founder of Times Books for the New York Times, and who's presently authoring a book on JFK. Now, Stephanie, Tom was talking about how Trump could have, and in my opinion should have, pardoned Julian Assange, but not Julian Assange alone. I think Edward Snowden was another who, after all, revealed that the nation was being spied upon when people like Poindexter and Clapper were denying that was the case, massive surveillance of the American people. I'm sure you have thoughts about what Tom was talking about, so I want to invite you to, let me say there's a massive scientific evidence, by the way, that substantiates what I've been telling you about the face mask, where there's a wonderful summary on my blog, Face Masks in the COVID-19 Era. Many countries are utilizing medical and non-medical face masks as non-pharmaceutical intervention for reducing the transmission and infectivity of coronavirus disease. Although scientific evidence supporting face mask efficacy is lacking, adverse physiological, psychological, and health effects are well established. It's been hypothesized face masks have compromised safety and efficacy and should be avoided from use. The current article comprehensively summarizes the scientific evidence and substantiates those conclusions. You can find this at jamesfetzer.org as well, including a table of the psychological and physiological effects of wearing face masks and their potential health consequences, where the physiological effects include hypoxemia, hypercapnia, shortness of breath, increased lactate concentration, decline in BH levels, acidosis, toxicity, inflammation, self-contamination, increase in stress hormone levels of adrenaline, noradrenaline, and cortisol, increased muscle tension, immunosuppression. Psychological effects include activation of fight or flight, stress response, chronic stress condition, fear, mood disturbances, insomnia, fatigue, compromised cognitive performance, where the health consequences include decreased predisposition for viral and infection illness, meaning actually increased predisposition, meaning it makes you more vulnerable to viral and infectious diseases, headaches, anxiety, depression, hypertension, cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, Alzheimer's disease, exacerbation of existing conditions and diseases, accelerated aging process, health deterioration, premature mortality. In other words, using face masks is not going to extend your life, it's going to reduce it. Now, we have two wonderful investigative journalists today, and I want to invite Stephanie Sledge to offer her observations about what Tom Lipscomb was offering in relation to the revelations of the whistleblower, the transcript of whom was released by L. Lynn Wood, who's a serious guy. I have a link to the transcript right now at Power Hour Nation for the schedule today, so you can track down these three key articles, the 20 about the damage done by face masks, the other from which I was just reporting about the scientific evidence that substantiates all of those conclusions, and then from Populist Press, the interview with the whistleblower. Stephanie, this is just stunning stuff. Share your thoughts.
Well, first of all, Tom, it's an honor to be on the show with you as well. And I agree, you know, that there's so much going on. And I like the points that you brought up as far as Trump and Biden. And I also like the fact that Jim brought up, you know, the body doubles. And I'd like to add a little bit more to maybe the investigative world to study in a little bit more, because I'm convinced that, you know, we are looking at a screen production of what's going on at the White House, and that they are all actors. And, you know, just recently, Trump resigned from the Screen Actors Guild. And now he's sending legal notices to the GOP and various other places not to use his name anymore. And, I mean, if you just go to Google and just type in list of actor politicians, they're right there in front of your face. And we have been lied to. I agree with Tom. The media is, in my opinion, they are, you know, they've been bought out. Jack and I wrote an article probably more than 5 years ago, and I titled it, Has Judea Declared War on America? And, you know, the companies are all Jewish-owned that own our media. This is Jewish agenda. And I believe that there are body doubles everywhere. I would like a search party to go to the White House and find out if we really have politicians there. And, you know, I think that people need to look into the fact that we are looking at actors. Hollywood is involved in changing our world over to a new transition into non-American agenda. And, you know, I just really agree. I'm like you, Tom. I don't have an opinion. You know, what I do is go in and look at things and try to keep objective. I'm not a Trump supporter. I'm not a Biden supporter. And I am happy that I have been able to be the book editor for the Pedo Empire books that have been being published on pedoempire.org. And Yochim Hagepin is the author of that. And there's no doubt in my mind that Biden is involved. And as far as pedophilia, I mean, it's just such a thick ring that runs so deep and evil. And, you know, it's all Hollywood. It's our media. You know, you look around at these people they have in front of us that are, you know, supposed to be reporters. They're not reporters. They're just actors. And they're given a script, and they say it over and over and over again until, you know, America believes it. And so we have to change over the media. This is an information war. It definitely is. And so, you know, that's my take on it. I think that, you know, the people that we're looking at politicians are not really politicians. They're body doubles. You know, what happened to everybody? Are they dead? We don't know. So that's my take on that.
Well, let me throw in some substantiation. We know the inauguration was pre-recorded. It actually turned up in Spain like 7 hours in advance. I was watching it go down and paying attention to the clock and observing that Joe Biden was being sworn in 10 or 15 minutes too early, which meant it was still during the Trump administration, making it thereby constitutionally invalid. I had a friend who was checking it on different channels and finding different parts of the inauguration were being broadcast over different channels, which would have been impossible had it been a live event. No one, I had a report from 50 different persons who'd been contacted in Washington, and no one had observed the inauguration nor the spectacular fireworks display that we saw broadcast over television. That for sure was a Hollywood-produced spectacle, and we even had internal evidence that was done in more than one take, because there were two women, one in pink and one in white, who during the same continuous events were in different locations when in the crowd or bystanders when they would have had no opportunity to move, and where Jill Biden's shoes turned from tan to blue back to tan, Tom, tell me, I'm sure you're aware of most or all of this. Please continue the conversation.
Well, it goes to the point I was making, which is if you have no press, then you only have media, i.e., these are all loudspeakers that are and visuals that you can mix up any way you want to, because not only don't you, is the politician representing his own thinking or anything else that goes along with the American political system we think we know, but also the journalists aren't journalists. They are simply amplifying what is being fed to them. Okay. And I think that's what we're getting. So we're going to fake event after fake event after fake event after fake event. And their objective now is to close down media access to where the only events you can have access to are the fake events, the ones they control. And if they ever get to that point, I mean, I tell people, and they don't believe me, I said, this may take 40, 50 years of this dark age you're going to have to live through, because at the level they control access today from honest media, wherever they may be, and there are honest media, and the people are only getting these productions that she was talking about. You don't need actors. You can use a real Joe Biden, except when Joe Biden is too sick to appear, and you pull in the double, and nobody questions it. But there are politicians in the White House. Those people are really there. I know several White House correspondents who are in the press conferences, who are all over the place, and they confirm that the body count is still real. Okay, they're there. It doesn't matter, though, because these aren't people we elected. And secondly, they don't stand for anything they say they stand for. They stand for whatever they're told to stand for. And what's behind this and how this is all organized is not going to be found out as long as we're in a situation where, as I said, Trump himself doesn't give a pardon to Julian Assange, the guy who's got the key to everything. So you look at that. Let's just take the Assange-Seth Rich thing. It's a classic case in point. Okay, we have the raid on the Democratic servers, which is far more devastating than Roger Stone's worst wet dream. Everything Roger Stone would want to be there is 500 times more. Okay. And by God, if Seth Rich, as Jim outlined, doesn't do it for laudable purposes as a Bernie boy, and he wants to get this to Assange. Meantime, we're told on the defense side from the Democrats, one is Assange is in bed with the communists, and this comes right over the Trump administration. His Justice Department, FBI, see, Assange has got this from the communists. Okay. Nobody's interested in the press in the all kinds of good testimony comes from former NSA experts, et cetera, that it was continuous, that it couldn't be done in time period, all the details. And, Jim, let's not get fascinated with rationality here. This is all dumb show. This is not in any way, shape, or form rational activity. This is emotional and dumb show activity. So the Democrats... Then the FBI, which has allowed MI6 to accredit Christopher Steele's dossier. Nobody's the FBI accredited Christopher. MI6 accredited. Richard Dearlove accredited to them. That's where it came from. So now we've got the FBI with that crime lab they'll take you through if you ever do a tour. They don't do anything on the Seth Rich thing either, because they take the word of crowdsource, an outside vendor. So now we've got an outside vendor saying, no, it looks like the commies got it. Nobody questioning it. Nobody analyzing it from the United States, presumably independent position. Trump accepting all this, and Assange sitting in an oubliette somewhere waiting to be taken to the States, where he'll probably die of a heart attack in jail. That's an end-to-end example of how things proceed in the United States under two different administrations, now three, all trying to suppress the facts that are embarrassing to the progressives on what happened with the Seth Rich case. That's happening hundreds of times. And what I think this transcript, whatever is true about it, whatever is false about it, represents is a look at how big this game is. I've been looking at it incident by incident. This shows a much bigger pattern going on, which is really, we've seen this before, which as Jim knows, and we pretty much agree upon. The government has decided, the federal government, deep state, has decided to intervene several times in American history since the Jack Kennedy assassination because it doesn't think the voters are just smart enough to pick the right people, so they want to pick them for them, whether they're Supreme Court justices or they are presidents of the United States or whatever. And so we're now in a position where they've totally given up on the electoral system of government, and they're totally taking everything over. I think that's what we're looking at right now, Jim. I think, when did this document get released that you put up on the site that I hope all your listeners go and see?
I think Linwood released it about a week ago, Tom.
Okay, it's dated the 9th of January, but I haven't seen hide nor hair of it, and I would have. So you're saying a week ago it popped out.
Well, at least that's when I ran across it, but it may have been earlier. I find it very consistent with everything else he's been reporting about, as you observed, the failure of the court to take the Texas case, I really do believe, was a historic event that should not have taken place. And it was because, I think, in large measure, because the Chief Justice is so seriously compromised. And if this testimony is correct from the transcript, he was even complicit in taking out Antonin Scalia. I mean, there you have the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, the Chief Justice of the United States, complicit in the murder of an associate justice who happened to be the strongest, the most staunch conservative in support of both the First and Second Amendment. No wonder he was their prime number one target, Tom. But this is just appalling beyond words.
Yeah, it's utterly fascinating the way they went through this. And, of course, a reporter can find out who the three people were that were hired on for this particular hunting party. And I forget, who was the host of that hunting party? It used to be in the White House, a naval admiral.
Well, I think you're talking about Rod Rosenstein was actually in the Department of Justice.
No, I'm talking about the hunting party that Scalia was at in Texas.
Oh, yeah. Let me recall. Maybe I can check it out here.
Yeah, that the host, I don't think, knew a thing about this, okay? They just slipped this in, and the host, as I recall, was, I think, in the George H.W. Bush White House as a top NSA guy and a former military. So you could slip it into something like this by having three people inside, two as servants and one as a gardener or something. That's the way these things are run.
Yeah, here's a part about it. Reporting from Calibo Creek Ranch, Texas, when Texas millionaire John Poindexter invited Justice Antonin Scalia to
Poindexter.
Yeah. It was for a private party with about 35 other guests, a weekend of hunting and sightseeing on his painstakingly restored and cultivated $30,000 acre spread.
It
was even Poindexter who discovered the body when Scalia, 79, failed to appear for a morning excursion at 8 a.m. Saturday. Poindexter became concerned and went to his room.
I'll bet you dollars to donuts Poindexter didn't have a clue about any of this. Okay.
Uh-huh. He was kept in the dark, which had its own outdoor fire pit and a wall of windows overlooking the 22-room Adobe Ranch Hotel, a lake, and surrounding peaks of the Shinati Mountains. I had not seen him, and everyone else was up. I knocked loudly, Poindexter said, But Scalia was in large room, the El Presidente suite, and the owner figured perhaps the justice couldn't hear him.
Yeah, that all makes sense.
Yeah.
I think where people go crazy in these situations is they try to get everybody involved, okay? And the thing about a good operation in intelligence operation, that the active operational, is that you go undercover and you go into legitimate operations and you use them as your cover. And they do it all the damn time. And you know, who'd have thought that the Linwood is consistent on this question about Chief Justice Roberts? I think he's got other sources as well. I don't know where the phone call that you said he keep this son of a bitch from getting reelected. I don't see that in this document. Is it something else?
No, that's not in this document. Right. That was separately tweeted by L. Linwood.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And so he's on the case, and he's got stuff here, and he had that. And that sounds like a legitimate attempt at inquiry for me. Okay, if it's all in one document and you say, aha, I've got it here, I'm dubious. If you start sprinkling it in from various sources, it smells better to me, even though if I haven't checked it myself, I can't testify to it. But, you know, as a reporter, as she knows, your other guest, you kind of smell to see, am I going to dig into this or not? Is this got enough legitimacy for me to even go here? And I think that's what's interesting. But we're looking at a situation now where it's over. They have slammed the door.
Tom, hold that thought. We'll pick up with you when we return from this break. Our Nation. Tom Lipscomb and Stephanie Sledge are here with me today. We'll be right back.
What in the world is this crazy Willard water?
It's a proprietary solution. It's a water additive that was invented by my grandfather, Dr. John Willard, and hence the name Willard Water. Boosts a number of different things. We see most prominently that it's increasing the absorption, utilization, and storage of nutrients in the cells. So, for example, if people were to drink it, we see a big boost in B vitamin absorption utilization. If you see it in plants, we see a big boost in their ability to absorb and retain fertilizers or nutrients in the soil, so we see with things like microbes. If you used a microbe on soil, for example, to replenish the soil, and you sprayed our Willard water on it, go through that replenishing cycle much faster.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com.
We know you like savings, and we know you like Strauss. Strauss Natural Products, 10% off this entire week. From now through this Sunday, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829 and get a 10% discount on all our Strauss products. Right now through the end of the week or online at thepowermall.com. Buy from the good guys. Buy from thepowermall.com. Hurry, sale ends this Sunday.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding product, and he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs, and my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Hi. This is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
We're not very superstitious here at the Power Hour, but your lucky number this week is 17. Why? Because we have 17 products from the North American Urban Spice at a discounted rate of 10%. 10% off all North American Urban Spice products today all the way through this Sunday. Check out the full line of North American Urban Spice products at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com or call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys. Buy from thepowermall.com. Hurry, sale ends this Sunday.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
This is Jim Fetzer sitting in for Daniel today here with the Power Hour Nation. I'm just so delighted to be here. I have two excellent investigative journalists here with me today. Tom Lipscomb was reflecting on the current state of the situation where we have a charade taking place in Washington. The media appears to be involved in perpetrating the hoax on the American people. Tom, is there anything we can do about it?
There's not much. I don't expect there to be another legitimate election for many years. They now know how to do that. The court has given them permission. The American people can do nothing about it. Okay. The question is how far this breaks down. I think it'll be a financial collapse that causes this to be addressed. Because our problem, as your other guest has pointed out brilliantly, the whole COVID thing, the mask controversy, et cetera, this is the breakdown of the entire intelligentsia of the United States. The COVID crisis in 1920 would have been turned over to the Public Health Service, who would have handled it brilliantly and advised the president maybe twice a year on how it was going, okay? This time, we've got Fauci and we got the president and Pence and everybody on it, and all these jackasses changing the policy every 30 minutes. There's no policy. There's no intelligence. There's no science. It looks like they're doing it with a Rubik's Cube. So when you have an intelligentsia that's broken down, where do you go to repair the problem we have now? First, we created the administrative state. That basically made the legislative branch irrelevant. Okay, the entire Congress is a joke. Who cares if they investigate something? Who cares if somebody testifies? There are no penalties. You couldn't get arrested as a member of the federal government, you know, no matter what you did. So, number one, the legislature has been totally neutered. Secondly, everything with the administrative state flows to the executive branch. If you control the executive branch, you're now controlling two branches of the government. Now that Roberts and his Supreme Court has destroyed it, the Constitution as anything to be referred to for redress, we're stuck with a totalitarian state with the clothes on of a constitutional republic that is totally out of control. I think it will take a huge, the financial crisis that I think is coming. You can't double your national debt in 10 years and not have a day in which you lose your position as a reserve currency, and all kinds of bad things start happening then. You're not going to get people with pitchforks and things in the streets of America over intellectual issues of the kind we're talking about here. It's when they lose their jobs and you're in the middle of another depression, that's when people start to look at something around here has to change. And I think we're going to have to go through the whole damn thing, the elevator, all the way to the sub-basement.
Tom, tell me what you mean exactly by that. Do you think that we have to, may have to conduct another civil war to regain control of our government, or can it be done in other ways?
I think that in an emergency situation, look what happened to King Charles I. He didn't let Parliament do anything for years. Then suddenly he needed money, and the only way he could do it was to convene Parliament. You know what happened to him. So if the government becomes so abusive and begins to lean on the American people so abusively, you can see something like that happening.
Stephanie, I want to bring you in here, too. Give us your thoughts about what Tom's just been sketching here as well.
Well, I definitely agree. I mean, this is a hostile takeover that, you know, Americans are, we've been lounging around in terrorists for years thinking that America is free and nobody can touch us. But in reality, there's operatives everywhere. This country has been completely infiltrated with operatives. And, you know, my last book that I wrote, it can be found on blog.thegovernmentrag.com. It's called A Citizen Journalist Exposure of Sandy Hook. And I wrote a whole chapter about operatives everywhere and how our country has been infiltrated through the 911 system, the state police, many organizations related to the 911 system that the Mossad has infiltrated its way into this country. And I don't think people understand, let alone know what to do about it. But one thing about a solution, and I am 100% behind the fact that we have to take our country back county by county, and that means we go hold the sheriffs of our counties to their oath, and, you know, we need to form posses, and we, the people, need to drain the swamp from county by county, not wait for some king in the White House to drain it for us. We are responsible for it. We the people. We are a republic. And that's what America is. And we have to continue down that course. And I am a firm believer that there is something that we can do about it. And, you know, you're right, Tom. It's all event by event. It's all controlled by event by event. And there are operatives everywhere. And, you know, most people just go along to get along thinking that, you know, we're just still living in safe, peaceful America, and no other country could come infiltrate us. And it's all lies, all of it.
Tom.
Yep.
I mean, it's just as dismaying as it could possibly be, the situation we're in. I mean, for God's sake, every institution has abandoned us, betrayed us, whether it's the media or the Congress or the courts. I think this is as desperate a plight as the nation has ever confronted in its history, Tom.
Oh, I think so, too. I was trying to tell some of our friends who've got their AR-15s and are ready on their front porch with their beer bellies to take on the deep state. And I said, you know something? I said, Jim Fetzer had been a Marine infantry officer, and I've been an officer. I mean, with a company of troops, we could kill several hundred thousand people with AR-16s on their front porch with beer bellies who think they can do it all on their own. You know, the difference between small unit tactics and individuals isolated in their home as their castle is everything. So don't dream of some armed revolution making the difference. Stephanie's right. It's going to be county by county and state by state, slowly putting federalism together, though the Constitution lies in tatters. But there's still so many interested parties. The state legislators are interested in their state legislative positions. They're not interested in the federal government. Your county sheriff's interested in his where he gets his salary and his bonuses locally. He doesn't get that from the federal government. So you put things back together on a smaller scale and build up, just as Stephanie said, and you got a shot. This takes years, okay? But you slowly create your own interest groups, district by district, state by state, until finally you start having states who say, I'm not going to put up with this garbage from the federal government anymore. And that's when you get critical mass. That's when the conspiracy falls apart, because Harvard, Yale, Princeton, the Ford Foundation, you know, the American Enterprise Institute, et cetera, now no longer have sway. Because the individual citizen has once again said, gee, I guess I don't get to sit out and back with a beer watching TV and dreaming I'm living in the 1950s anymore. I guess I have to do something. Are we up to it? That's what we're going to learn in the next 20 years.
Well, I will say, I think one benefit of this, all this weak Biden, this unbelievable theft of the election is, states are taking a larger role. They don't have any respect for the federal government, which is so grossly compromised, and where the Democrats are just ruling a totalitarian fashion. In Biden issuing all these executive orders, he seems to think he's a king and not a president. And all the claims he made about unifying the nation obviously were...
But wait a minute, Jim, he is a king. He's not a president. You're in a totalitarian state. You are not in a constitutional republic. So these executive orders are going to be the worst things you ever saw in your life. The Supreme Court will be packed. They will override the filibuster thing in Congress. Every rotten thing you could think of, they will try to restrict the Second Amendment. They will try to create hate speech as a way of regulating all speech. This is all going to happen over the next 5 years. There's not a damn thing you could do about it. You could only do it state by state for those brave enough to do it.
Stephanie, your thoughts?
I agree. I definitely agree. And I also want to add one more thing, you know, that it is so correct that, you know, Americans are so passive right now that, you know, they're just so comfortable watching Netflix and thinking that our military is out there fighting for our freedoms, when in fact it's all the opposite. Everything right now is
the
exact opposite.
Tom, add that? Repeat that?
I said we have the most worthless military we've ever had. Okay, we have the worst flag officers since like 1820. These people, if you look at the ribbons on their chests, a friend of mine wrote a book. He was the most decorated officer, Tony Herbert. Okay, Colonel Herbert, you may remember him. And he said, you've got two kinds of ribbons on soldiers. One are like hotel stickers. They say, I was there. Okay. And then there are rare ribbons that say, and I did this. Well, you look at the Petraeuses and the Mattises and the other guys, all they're wearing is hotel stickers. They serve time doing this, that, and the other. These are all staff officers. The current superintendent of West Point has just destroyed the honor system at West Point, single-handedly destroyed it, okay? Annapolis is not far behind. People who think the military is intact enough to be relied upon in a crisis don't know the military we now have. It's a very different world.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I agree.
It's stunning stuff.
Everything is just completely a lie in our face, and we're just taking it, you know, well, I'm not going to take it anymore. You know, I'm going to tell the truth. I mean, we've got laws that are passed now, hate speech laws, and turning the white man into being viewed as the perpetrator of everything, and also, you know, a terrorist. And, you know, so, you know, where do we want to go from here? And I think that, you know, the people that want to live in communism, well, go form your own place and have some communism. But I don't want to live in communism. And most Americans, they don't even know how to define that word.
Further on Tom's observation, too, I think Obama did a house clean of the flag officers in the U.S. military, firing 60, 80, 100 or more, Tom. Do you remember when he did this? I think he was selecting out those who put the Constitution ahead of him as president. I believe that's what he was doing, but it appears to have grossly weakened leadership in the U.S. military.
Well, it was weak to begin with. If you think about the general who was in charge of Africa during the Benghazi disaster, who had planes on the runway at Aviano in Italy ready to come in and help. They had special forces who could come in from Libya to Benghazi, and he was prevented. Did he resign his commission in a big huff? Did he go to the New York Times and complain? No. He took the deal he was offered by Obama to stand down. When Petraeus' own operatives are burned to death and mortared to death in Benghazi, and he'd been CIA director, and these were his guys, did he stand up for them? No. So we've got all these people already before the cleanup who are gutless wonders. We haven't had an officer at any level resign a commission or in protest over any of these actions. We just hear these sniggerings and bitching and moaning like privates. So if that's how responsible the officer corps is in situations in which their own people are being destroyed, and no better examples than these ridiculous wars that Trump was absolutely right about that they keep pursuing that go nowhere, you know, we don't have the military, we don't have the Pentagon to look at, which goes back to Stephanie's point. It really is going to start with the county sheriff and this county school board. That's where it's going to start.
Tom, it's just dreadful to think we were talking about such a long period of time. And, you know, with all the face masking and the coronavirus and all that, we have to emancipate us from that. It turns out that the Dr. Sherry Tenpenny is explaining that this is also a massive depopulation program, and that the effects of sterilization on men and women from the coronavirus start showing up 3 to 6 months after you're injected. I mean, this is just a horrific plot to take control of the planet, and I fear the Great Reset, which is going to be a, you know, make everyone dependent upon the government, wiping out all the middle class, small businesses, which may never be restored, making the people dependent on the government for a stipend, and then coming along with a proposal that you'll get your guaranteed stipend and you can rent a cubicle if you give up all your property and assets, that they'll pay off your credit cards, your mortgages, and your student loans, but you have to also agree to a regimen of vaccination that's going to go on forever. If you refuse, you'll be declared a public health menace and put into a FEMA camp. And if you continue to resist, your head will be separated from your body using a guillotine, guess what, made in China. This appears to be the future if we cannot bring ourselves to resist. Tom.
Well, I don't go that far down the road. I just see them cutting off options every chance they get that increases the power of the federal government, increases their control, and increasing their control of media and all communications. After all, when you have a revolutionary movement in a Latin American country, there are two places they head for first. What are they?
Go ahead, Tom.
Well, I'm just asking you, what do you think the two first places we're having in Banana Republic number three, we're going to have a revolution and the army's going to spend, and what two places do they need to capture first?
Well, typically the capital in
the presidential palace. Yeah, okay, the presidential palace, and what else?
Communication set sites.
Absolutely. Radio and television. Okay.
That's exactly what I was just going to say. I agree 100%. We're right here, right now, a hostile takeover.
That's right. Right. What we're seeing right now is a takeover first of the presidential palace and all the legislature and the judiciary and all communications. That's exactly what it is. And to make sure it keeps going, we have their takeover of education. Okay. The poison is pouring out of every college and university in this country. Those are the best and the brightest, and they're all educated to be part of this new state. And they don't know it. They don't know any better. They did what they were supposed to do. They went to school. They got educated. But educated is what? They're cadre. These kids are defeated. The thing that interests me, you know, Jim, when I went to college, I came out during the Kennedy administration, and we were can-do kids. We loved Kennedy's message. He basically said, those old farts in World War II have screwed the world up. We're in a nuclear holocaust an inch away. You guys come out here and clean things up and do something. And we all did. We threw our shoulders at the wheel. These kids come out of school defeated. There's nothing you can do. The system is too strong, you know. Well, America has now lived through a 40-year acid trip. We've had a great time. We've indulged ourselves. We've had the pills. We've had rock and roll. Okay. And basically, here we are. And now we get the hangover. I said to somebody the other day, I said, America today is like a party scene Sunday morning at 5 a.m. with ashtrays full, half-drunk liquor, people lying in corners. You know, now comes the dawn, okay? We had a great party. Was it worth it?
Tom, you and Stephanie have just been sensational today. As a token of appreciation to Power Our Nation, I want to take this occasion to announce that the conference I organized on false flags and conspiracies 2020, which was held on the 5th and the 6th of December, I'm making the archives now available to the public for free. These are two dozen presentations on Sandy Hook, the Boston bombing, JFK, 9/11, the Godfathers of sex abuse, the use of weapons for torturing people, targeting individuals. It's a veritable bonanza. You can find it available to you at falseflagconspiracies2020.com. falseflagconspiracies2020.com. I've asked Catherine to post a link there in addition to the articles and reports we've been discussing today. I think you'll find it really quite sensational. I have found myself the subject of massive censorship, where my first in the relatively recent research on in the area you might call conspiracy research on Sandy Hook was banned by Amazon less than a month after it went on sale. This was in 2015, even though I brought together 13 experts, including six current or retired PhD professors, where we established that the school had been closed by 2008, that it was loaded with asbestos and other biohazards, damaged by a hurricane. Turns out there was even a major flood in the area in 2007. It was not habitable. Our research findings have been subsequently confirmed by independent sources. There were no students there. Eric Holder traveled to Connecticut and met with the governor on the 27th of November to share with him the Obama agenda for gun control. When the governor reported on the 14th of December, the day of the alleged shooting, that he and the lieutenant governor had been spoken to that something like this might happen, what he meant was not that he'd been told someone might become demented and shoot up a bunch of kids, in which case he had an obligation to notify the school districts that they take precautions to ensure it didn't happen. What he meant was he'd been notified by Eric Holder they were going to take an abandoned school, conduct a FEMA exercise, for which we even have the manual, and present it to the public as a mass murder to promote gun control. One of our contributors, Paul Preston, himself a school principal in the past, who has supervised active shooter drills, was so disturbed by what he heard broadcast from Newtown that day that he reached out to his contacts in the Obama Department of Education, all of whom confirmed to him that it had been a drill, that no students had been harmed, and it was done to promote gun control. When they banned the book, after having been on sale less than a month and selling nearly 500 copies, I immediately released it to the public for free. It's been downloaded a large number of times, as many as 10 million. But in order to stop that, to staunch the flow, I was the subject of a lawsuit that was highly contrived. I ran up expensive bills, so if you like what I've done with the false flags and conspiracies, you're welcome to donate to my legal defense fund. I want to say just thank you to Power Hour Nation. Thank you to Catherine. Thank you to Daniel. Thank you to Stephanie Sledge. Thank you to Tom Lipscomb. And the spirit of Joyce Riley, may truth prevail, and may America refine its way into the future. Let us hope for our children and our posterity this works out, but it won't happen without effort by each and every one of us. Thank you.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.